11 past the hour, your 27th day of February. It means after today, we got one left. And then we're into March. And that doesn't that make you say spring? Well, it makes you say madness. Some would say March magic. That's all about trademarking. March madness. It's basketball. The tournament's right around the corner. The Big Ten tournament, of course, coming up. And it's kind of early this year, the way it works out with the selection Sunday, a week ahead for the Big Ten. It's weird, but they had to get Madison Square Garden in New York, and I don't know if that's where the Big Ten tournament belongs long-term. It's not going to be there long-term, but certainly as a one-off, there aren't many settings like that right smack dab in the middle of Manhattan. That'll be coming up later in the week. A lot of coverage on that. I know somebody who's going to this is the good doc, Dr. John B., Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services from East Lansing. He's on the other end of our line. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. I must say that's going to be an exciting experience to go there and take part in the activities. Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, the Spartans really aren't really strangers to the Garden, but this will be a unique one for the Big Ten. Of course, they won't be playing until Friday at noon against, I want to say, either it's Wisconsin or Maryland that they play in that tournament. But anyway, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk more about MSU basketball, and that'll be coming up. The Big Ten champs, sole Big Ten champs for the regular season in 2017-2018. That'll be after the bottom of the hour. I want to mention something to you before we get into our regular topic here. And this struck me yesterday. I think, I'm sure you saw this. If you didn't, I love giving news here, that the American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended now, and this was big news, that all kids 12 and over should get an annual depression screening. They say that one out of five kids in America 12 and over is clinically depressed, and half of those do not get diagnosed and don't get treatment. Did you hear about that?
Well, I did hear about that. Nothing much more than that. I mean,
right.
That's what I've heard. It seems like a high percentage, you know, anecdotally, you know, in terms of what I see, we see in our offices, that just seems like a high number. I'm not going to deny that there are a lot of children depressed. This is a very confusing world that we're in, and I'm certainly not opposed to that. It just was something I hadn't really thought about. I tend to see anxiety as something that is a far more frequent issue with young person as well as old persons. I mean, if you want to use or in the middle. But, yeah, I wouldn't deny that so much disconnecting in our society right now. People have their computers. They're on social media. There's so many areas you can feel out of it or concerned or feel lost or whatever it might be. If the days of the home being the predominant place for communication, for activities, for thoughts, communication, that's just really not the case in many, many homes. And with a breakdown in a family, at least the families we knew it 50 years ago, you have a lot more children with more time on their own. So it's a complicated world. So certainly not a bad thing to do. It just is, I was not thinking of that as something we'd be doing, but certainly I can think of no reason why it's not a good idea to check for depression. I would simply say I see anxiety as something that is pretty destructive, or call it what you will, for many, many people, to the worrying, the what-ifing, you know, which you and I have talked about various times. But certainly the sadness, the feeling I don't belong, or I don't know where I'm going to go, the confusion, am I liked, am I not, those are certainly things that can lead to depression and lead to difficulty for children and persons of all ages.
It's fascinating. And then you've got a different, well, I'm obviously a professional, and you can say anecdotally, but you've got a pretty good sample size over these many years. Now, I kid a little bit about what's coming here, because I've got a friend who I've had for many years and a colleague, friend and colleague, who I kid about this, because every time I talk to him, it's woe is me. I mean, it's become a kind of a standing joke, because I say, you are never truly happy unless you're unhappy. I mean, everywhere you go, there's a rain cloud. You know it's not really a rain cloud, but you always make it out to be a rain cloud. You're always saying you're miserable, but you're not miserable. And I know you're not miserable because we've talked about how you're not miserable, but you say you're miserable. If you get where I'm going with this, but there is a certain component to some people where it's always, woe is me. It's always, you know, everything's terrible. My word is horribleized. Every situation is horribleized. How do you avoid getting, for lack of a better phrase, drawn in to this kind of a thing?
Well, I think what you have to do is always be in control of your own thoughts. A very hard thing to do. And also not allow the mood of someone else to overtake you. It happens a lot. The stereotype is the mother-daughter, you know, one of them's the bad mood, so they choose to put the other one, or the husband-wife. In addition to stereotypes, we work with people, we see people that we'll use the word misery or in a bad mood or what's there to be in a good mood about. And often it is true they do almost enjoy taking people with them, meaning putting the other person in a bad mood, awfulizing about all the things that might happen. And it's pretty critical that a person be able to think for themselves and not allow someone that's awfulizing, or whatever word we want to use, to allow them to control our moods. And people that we may even love and care for that are having a bad day, and all of a sudden they'll find fault with you, like, what did you do that for? How come you always do this? Or why don't you try harder? And another one is in the work situation, where all of a sudden people will warn coworkers, you know, Mary just got talked to by Judy, Harry, or whatever it might be. And so they're in a bad mood, so they all of a sudden come down to the staff meeting, find fault with everybody. So the chain of command can go down. But this can happen in any setting. And you're also right about your friend. There are people that always seem to find the worst. I often believe that they want to make sure that they don't suffer a defeat or a bad feeling, so they choose to always be in it, okay, rather than thinking things could be better. And it sounds like a crazy thought, but I have seen that in people that they're afraid to be positive because they think something bad might happen. So they choose to be in a negative mood all the time, which makes no sense at all.
It makes no sense. And even though I consistently say to this person, no, it's not that bad. In fact, look, things are going great for you. X, Y, or Z. They're like, yeah, but no, it's always something that goes with. But my resistance to it, Doc, is to laugh about it. Instead of saying, oh, no, that's no, I'm just like, come on. You know, this is funny. You're making me laugh. Now you're cheering me up with your with your act here, which I think is partially an act. But you're right. Could be a defense mechanism. I just think we always know somebody like this or around.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And it's just, you know.
But some of them can cause havoc for people, because there are people that are heavily influenced by what other people are thinking and feeling.
That's a great point.
And there are toxic people. There are these negative types, so we really need to have minimal contact with them. We need to be able to say adios, you know, I'm not going to be involved. Also, we can choose what we're going to discuss and how much time we're going to spend on it. So these are things that I think are important.
That's a good point.
And if we're in work situations, or situations that we really have to communicate with people that are negative and they have an impact on us, it's always good to have a mentor, a counselor, somebody that you can talk to that can help give you some guidance. Because there are a lot of people that are really beat up and run down by other people. So I think it is critical. I think humor, which you kind of used to, now come on, the world's not going to end tomorrow, or if things really aren't that bad. And even if you get him to say the yes, but, now the but, of course,
there's always that. No, there's always that. There's always that. But you know, and I guess the antidote to this is what we all get. You know, there's moments when we're all feeling like, oh, well, what else is going to go wrong? I mean, I look to my wife. She usually finds a bright spot in most anything instead of something, even in the most innocent thing. You know, it looks innocuous. She'll say, oh, this is really cute, I want to show you something. And she brings me up a notch rather than go down. I look to latch onto that rather than the other. I mean, if it makes sense.
And if someone can help put us in a good mood or better mood, I think we accept positivity. How does that sound? We try to stay away from negativity. But it is a common thing, Dave. If you just right now thought about people that you know, you would find that a number of them are that way. They are negative, and they impact people. And when you see people that are really hurt, we do see that people will come into our offices, you know, they are depressed, going back to the depressed situation, or anxious or worried about somebody who knows they have an ability to have a negative impact on them. And some people that are very, very happy, they will get some satisfaction in having someone else in a bad mood, too. And those are the people that we want to stay away from as much as we can. We obviously can't stay away from coworkers, from bosses, from family, from certain friends and relationships. But we do really have to work hard on being in control of ourselves and not allowing others to take us down the road. And for the people that feel they're in misery, they really are going to be in a better mood by trying to be with people that are positive and people that are going to bring them up rather than them trying to take people down with them. That's
It's like you say, just don't get drawn into the web.
Don't get drawn into the web. That's right.
And if you can spot the web, steer clear. And you know what? We hope that the next time we chat with you, you're going to bring back both a review of the basketball at MSG. Don't say no, MSG. Lots of MSG all weekend through in the Big Apple in New York City, and maybe a Big Ten tournament championship as well for the Spartans of Michigan State. You gonna watch the Michigan game there on Thursday too?
Well, not really sure what we're going to do with that game because we're actually going in early Friday. Okay,
gotcha.
So that game I will probably watch, but I will not be at the Thursday game. Because we're going in early Friday, so
priorities are priority. High noon. High noon on Friday. That's where it
but
is.
It's going to be fun.
It should be a lot of fun. You get to see the renovated garden and the first, and who knows how many Big Ten championships will be played there, but you'll enjoy this one, and a Michigan State victory will make it even better. The good doc at drjohnb.com. That's where the podcast will reside shortly. Many others, they're on a wide, and I do mean that, literally variety of topics. Always good to talk to you. Travel safe, my friend.
Well, for sure. Always good talking to you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing. They're right off of Park Lake Road. You can look them up online. Go to drjohnb.com, and you can connect with the doctor, with the podcast or in person with an appointment. This is 1320 Morning Wake Up. We'll be right back. WILS.